Well, ever since the beginning of time, man has been seeking redemption from his guilt and his sins. And since the dawn of time, there have been two ways to seek redemption. One is works, and the other is faith. In fact, in the book of Genesis, the first two human beings that were born into this world, Adam and Eve, were Cain and Abel, and both of them came into the presence of God to offer their sacrifices for sins. Cain offered the works of his hands, and God rejected his offering. In Genesis chapter 4, 3 and 5, Abel offered the blood of an innocent substitute, and when he brought that offering to God, according to the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, God accepted Abel's offering. Now, Cain approached God on the basis of works. I think that's very significant that you and I understand. A lot of people will read that passage and they think, well, God is an unfair God. And they do not get the context of why God accepted one and why God rejected the other. All the way through the Old Testament, through redemption, was a picture of the blood sacrifice which would eventually come through the Messiah who would take away the sins of the world. And when Cain approached God on the basis of his works, God rejected that. Abel approached God on the basis of faith, and both of these approached God because they were drawn by some need in their own heart. I think you and I can look around in a fallen world that we live in tonight and realize that there's a voidness, there's an emptiness within the heart of every human being. And of course, we know what that emptiness is because God has placed it within the human heart, this void, this emptiness. And the only thing that can replace that is the peace of Jesus Christ through redemption. There's an empty spot, and whenever you think of all of the people in the world tonight whose lives are empty, many people are out there in the world tonight. They're trying to gratify the pleasures of the flesh. many people are looking to fill the emptiness in their life with sex or drugs or alcohol or some other works of the flesh. There are a lot of people out there that try to fill this void in their heart and life with religion. Their works, their self-imposed goodness, they feel better about themselves and not really understanding and realizing that the finished work of salvation was done on Calvary's cross. The history of humanity is littered tonight with sin and religion, and both of these are efforts of people who are trying to feel this emptiness within the human heart. They're trying to fill it with something they can produce themselves. And the problem with living a life of sin is that sin always ends in death, hell, and eternal separation from God. The problem with human religion is that good works will not take anyone to heaven. And so tonight, for the person out there that is filled with drunkenness, the drug addict out there, the harlot, the child molester, the rapist, the murderer, the thief, and every other kind of sin that you and I could think about tonight. All of these people are trapped in many of their works, many of their addictions. A lot of them are trapped in false religions of the world. In fact, it doesn't take you long to see some of the documentaries that have been on television in the last few months that deal with people that get caught up into these religious cults out there in the world. Now, regardless of how sincere people may be in their belief system, those who have nothing more than religion are headed to hell. Whether they are Muslim, whether they are Hindu, whether they are Jewish, whether they are animist, whether they're humanist, or atheist, or agnostic, or Catholic, or Presbyterian, or Methodist, or Mormon, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or Seventh-day Adventist or Southern Baptist, any other religion out there or non-religion or group, if they only have religion in their belief system, they are lost and they're headed for God's judgment. That's why in this evening's text in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, as the Apostle Paul once addresses the church at Ephesus, these verses teach exactly how people can be saved. These verses show all people in every generation, in all places, in all kinds of religions, what they must do in order to be saved. So the way of salvation, notice in verse 8 for this evening, for by grace, you have been saved through faith. I don't know about you this evening, but whenever you look at people out there going up and down the busy lanes of life, seemingly headed somewhere, yet if they are without Christ in their heart and life, according to the Bible, they are certainly headed in to a place of separation for all eternity. Paul said to the Ephesians, trying to encourage them, trying to let them know that salvation, God's way, is done God's way. So he says, for by grace, you and I sing about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The writer of that song certainly understood what that meant when penning the words to that immortal song that is still sung today from the many, many years ago that it was penned. Grace, grace, God giving to you and to me something we don't merit, something that we cannot earn, something that we cannot buy, something that we cannot work for. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. The riches of Almighty God through Jesus' shed blood there on the cross. For by grace, Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, for by grace you have been saved. Notice, through faith. Through faith. Let me tell you, tonight, I've never seen Jesus personally with my eyes, have you? I've never seen God personally. The Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. What is faith? Faith is taking a leap out there. Faith is stepping out there where there's no step to step on. Let me tell you tonight, by faith, I believe there's a God in heaven. By faith, I believe that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to love this world, to die on the cross, to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. I believe that by faith. I've never seen that physically with my eyes. I've seen it spiritually through the words that the Holy Spirit has penned in the 66 books of the canon of Scripture. For by grace you have been saved through faith. I'm so thankful for grace. Oh, to grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let me tell you, it's not how good any of us could ever be that will get us to heaven. Our goodness are as filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. Let me tell you, it's not our goodness that gets us there. It's not how bad anyone has ever been that keeps them out of heaven. It's all about the grace of God and acting through faith to believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins and arose from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he sits, according to the Bible, at the right hand of God the Father tonight, making intercession for the saints. He is ever interceding to the Father for his children, as the songwriter put it. Let me tell you, we're saved. It's because of God's wonderful gift. To whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Paul very emphatically, declaratively says to the Ephesian Christians, for by grace, In other words, there's absolutely nothing anybody could ever do in a lifetime. We could work till Jesus comes, we could work. But our works would never play any role in our salvation other than that we are saved to do good works so that those who are lost in the world will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Notice he very succinctly says, and that not of yourselves. All the way from the book of Genesis when Nimrod and those that got together and they decided to build a tower that would reach to the heavens. That was a picture of man in a religion trying to work his way to become like God himself. The Bible says that God said, let us go down and confound their language. And so their language was confounded, and that is what is referred to as the Tower of Babel. And ever since that time in the book of Genesis, man has been looking to work his way, many to try to become gods themselves. There are many religions out there in the world that teach that, that you can become a god yourself. And when I think about grace, how wonderful grace is. I'm grateful to know that it's all because of God's amazing grace. Grace so amazing, the songwriter said, is with me each day. Grace so amazing, I could never repay. Let me tell you, Paul certainly understood it. The Ephesians would understand it as he taught to them and as he preached to them. And that not of yourselves. Notice it is the gift of God. Let me tell you, you and I, so oftentimes in our lives, we get caught up in a busy world that we live in. I think sometimes we really fail to ponder what was Calvary really like? What did Calvary really signify in our hearts and lives? I think so oftentimes we fail to understand the price that our salvation cost the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, notice, it's a wonderful gift to those who receive it. And so he speaks there, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then notice, he moves on in verse 9. Paul said, not of works. It's not of works. Let me tell you, it was all because of God's unmerited favor. Let me tell you, we sing that old song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, verse 8 said, through faith we are saved in Christ alone, through faith alone. That word for faith, sola fide, alone, faith alone. Notice it's not of works. And there are lots of people out there in the world tonight that are trying to work their way to heaven. Folks, let me tell you, I'm grateful that we serve an awesome God that finished the work of redemption when he said to Tetelestai, it is finished. The work was finished. And that's why when he went back to heaven and ascended from the Mount of Olives 40 days after the resurrection, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's the place there of completion. He had completed the work of our salvation, not of works. Notice why, lest any man should boast. Can you only imagine if works, if salvation had to be about works, there would be people that would boast about what they had done. But the Bible says that our righteousness, our goodness, is as filthy rags in his sight. The Bible says there's none that does good, no, not one. Now, you and I would say, well, Pastor, I know a lot of people do a lot of good things because we see it. We see people do good things here in Duncan, here in the church. We see people do good things all the time. But what that's referring to, that our goodness is as filthy rags, whenever you would set our goodness side by side with the holiness and the righteousness of Almighty God, it would absolutely pale into any significance whatsoever, because it is absolutely, we are not worthy. We stand in the righteousness of Christ, and that's why we're saved, to do good works. We ought to do good works. Let me tell you, our works, the things that we do, should be a picture out there to people of the fruits of our labor for the sake of people seeing Christ in our hearts and in our lives. I was reading this past week in a new book that I had gotten at the bookstore that deals with end time events, and in that there was a whole chapter on whenever we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that God has put all judgment in his hands, the Son's hands, and that someday we will stand there. I can't even begin to imagine tonight how it will be to stand face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face to see and know, face to face with Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave me so, face to face. Can you only imagine someday to stand in his presence solo, just you standing face to face, giving an accounting of our life from the moment that we met Jesus and reached out through faith and received his precious gift in our lives. I know there will be a lot of people someday that will be saved, as we would say, by the skin of their teeth. They didn't reject Jesus. They reached out and received him. They believed that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for the remission of sins. They believed that he ascended back to heaven. They believe that he's coming again. They want to be a part of that eternal state of heaven for all eternity. But yet, somewhere along the way, they get stunted and stifled, and they never grow as a Christian. They never mature as a Christian. Now, there's some scripture that backs that up. They'll be saved as by fire. You see, one of these days, when we stand in the presence, what are we going to give an accounting of? The things that we did for Jesus while we're here. Why? So it would point other people to the glory of who God is and who Jesus is. There'll be a lot of people that their works will be burned up. They will not have anything to show for their life other than the fact that they did not reject the way of salvation. Now that's kind of hard for you and me to comprehend and you and me to grasp, but Paul talked about it over there in one of the churches that he addressed, that there would be those that would be saved as by fire. You see, when Max Lucado penned the words, and he said, it's what we do in the here and the now that makes the difference in the then and the there. You might ask yourself the question, what am I doing for Jesus? He has done so much for me. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is my master satisfied with me? To stand someday in his presence, I cannot even begin to fathom what that will be like, to stand, to give an account of the things that we've done. The Bible says, whether good or bad, that we will give an accounting. Not to determine at the judgment seat of Christ. Please keep those two, there's several judgments, but the judgment seat of Christ is for the church age, for the saved of the ages, to give an accounting. What have we done for Jesus? The great white throne judgment will be for all the lost of the ages when they stand condemned already. They will just be given their sentence because of the rejection of Christ. But at the judgment seat of Christ, when we're raptured out of the world, we will be there in the presence of Jesus to give an accounting of what we've done. I don't know about you, but oftentimes in my life, I like to sort of take a evaluation. What have I done for Jesus today? Have I told someone today about Jesus through something I've said, through something I've done? You see, there's all kinds of opportunities you and I have every day. out there at the marketplace, out there at the restaurant, out there at the gas station, wherever we go, maybe to leave a little track on a table to tell someone about Jesus, maybe to work in vacation Bible school, maybe to teach Sunday school. And you see, there's all kinds of things to be a card writer, to be an encourager, to call people on the phone. I believe one of the greatest ministries in all the church someday will be the prayer ministry, that people spent their time in prayer, unbeknownst to other people maybe, but that little old person that entered their prayer closet every day and prayed earnestly and fervently to visit the lost, to visit someone sick, to visit someone that's shut in, to take someone some food, to write someone a card and to let them know that you love them, you're praying for them, to text in the high-tech world that you and I live in, even on Facebook. There's lots of good things that happen on Facebook. I'm sorry to say there's lots of things on there that are not so good. But let me tell you, there's all kinds of ways that we can reach out and minister to people. And through technology today, through text messages, we can send a praying hand to someone, a heart, a little emoji on there, which specifies love and concern. When Jesus looked out over the masses of the people, Jesus saw the crowds, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. What did he do when he was moved with compassion? Most of the time he fed them. He fed them because he realized until he fed them physically, they would not be able to receive the spiritual sustenance that they needed. Not of works. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know this is the way you're saved. This is the way salvation comes. It comes through the shed blood of Christ. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a gift. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. But once you get saved, you'll want to work. We are saved for good works. We used to sing that old hymn, "We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work." We used to sing, "Give of your best to the Master." We used to sing an old song, "Our best, hear ye the Master's call." You see, I think that is what Paul is trying to remind the Ephesians tonight, that we work. We're not saved by works, but we work in order to point other people to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then notice in verse 10, I love this verse. For we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship. Notice, created. Created in Christ Jesus. There in verse 10 of our text. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? Good works. We're created for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we are created for good works. Let me tell you, when I see someone doing things in the name of Jesus, to extend a cool cup of water on a hot summer's day in the name of Jesus, to help that person over there in the bar ditch of life, so to speak. Are you and I the good Samaritans that come by, and so that we can reach out and do something for someone in the name of Jesus? That's what we were created for. We are his workmanship. I want you to think about your life tonight. Let me tell you, if you talk to the medical profession, if you talk to scientists who study the human body, who study the genomes of the body, who studies the genetic, no wonder the psalmist said many hundreds of years ago, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Let me tell you, with all of the genetic structure of the body, they have not even scratched the surface of this created body that you and I have. When God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. Tonight, you and I are a miracle. Let me tell you, the wonder of salvation and the way of salvation as we were created in Christ Jesus, we are his workmanship. No wonder that they worked for years and years in the field of virology, in the field of immunology, in the field out there of all kinds of genetics, in order to see the intricacy in which God created each one of us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Brent, can you put verse 10 up there for us, please? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, I think that's where so many people fail to understand why we do the things we do, the good things that we do, the kitchen committee, and all of the many things that they've done down through the years, cooking for families in order to help them on days that they are grief-stricken, things that we've done in our community to reach out to the schools and to feed school children and to do all of the many things that this church does in this community. I'm thankful, I'm grateful to be a part of this great church that believes in doing good works for the Master, for we are his workmanship. Let me tell you, people, you and I may be the only people, the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And so we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let me encourage you. In your Christian life, take an inventory at the end of each week, at the end of each month, at the end of each year. Take a spiritual inventory and ask yourself the question, if I were to stand before my Maker this evening, would I stand there? Would I stand there with my head held high? Then I would have done what I knew to do with what I had to do with the gifts and the talents that have been entrusted to me, would I have done what Jesus would have wanted me to do? Or would I stand there naked and afraid in the sense that I had not done the good works, the fruits that people could see Christ living in me? Notice Paul concludes this part of our text for this evening. For we are his workmanship. Let me tell you, we're the only Jesus some people will ever see. Some people will never read the Bible. Some people will perhaps never come to church. But they will look at you and me, and they will determine by our lives. In fact, to be honest, I think there are a lot of people out there that are looking to find something in order to give them a reason for not coming to church. I think, I don't know if any of you ever see that show on television, ID. It's about murders that have happened and missing children that are exploited and all of those things. Last evening there was one on television, People Magazine did. I think it took place in 2001 or 2005. It happened in Oklahoma City. I became very intrigued by it because it dealt with the Southern Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, where this couple were a member of, and they were well known in their area where they lived. They were well thought of in the church. She taught a fifth grade Sunday school class, Jenny. And I thought about this. He was highly respected in his job and among the people. There was another person in the church they had become good friends with. He was a single man who was an insurance agent, and he and the fifth grade Sunday school teacher were having an affair. Unbeknownst to the husband, they plotted together to kill him for the $800,000 life insurance policy. It was a big deal that took place in Oklahoma City, and they were interviewing neighbors of those people. And as I watched that and as I listened to that last evening, I thought, and that's the reason people look at churches and they look at people and they say, well, I don't go to church, but I'm as good as so-and-so up there. Any of y'all ever heard somebody say that? If anybody gets to heaven, I will. In fact, there used to be an old gospel song, Ken, called Surely I Will, Lord, Surely I Will. If anybody gets to heaven, surely I will. And when I thought about that, let me tell you, people, there'll be people in churches everywhere one of these days that will stand at the Lord, but especially during the days of the tribulation, when he assigns those people that said, well, Lord, I did this in your name. I cast out demons in your name. We healed in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. I think some of the saddest words in all of the canon of Scripture are those, I never knew you. I never knew you. So tonight, I would say to each one of us, take where you are. Take where you are in your life tonight. Reach out. Be this workmanship for the good Lord. Because Paul said in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared when beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't know about you, but I love the book of Ephesians. It's a rich book with doctrinal issues and doctrinal values of how salvation truly is and election and predestination and that we're chosen before the foundation of the world. And as I said in one of our earlier sermons on this, on Wednesday evening and Sunday evening, you and I will never be able to plumb the depths of predestination, foreordination, chosen, accepted, adopted. You and I will never be able to, with our finite minds, understand all that those terms encompass in the book of Ephesians. But nonetheless, we reach out and we accept by faith God's wonderful word. Notice, for we are his workmanship. He created us for a reason. He created us for a purpose. He put a plan within the heart and life of all that turn to him. And let me tell you, for the millions of people out there, we talk about election and chosen before the foundation of the world. W.A. Criswell used to say, the more that choose him, the more he elects. And how true that is. And that's probably one of the better ways that I know to explain that in our human comprehension of all of that. As we unpack these verses on Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights, I hope that you and I can grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Evaluate weekly, daily, monthly, yearly. Take a self-evaluation and ask yourself the question, if I were to stand before the Lord tonight, would the things that I've tried to do for him, would the works that I've tried to do, would they pass the fire test? Will they have been done for all of the right reasons? Will they have been done for all of the right attitudes? Did I do it for show? Did I do it for me? Or did I truly do it because of my love for the Lord Jesus Christ? There are lots of things that you and I have opportunity to do for Jesus. Let's not waste our opportunities. But as the Latin term carpe diem means, seize the day. Would you stand as we pray together as Ken comes to lead in our invitation song tonight? If you need to make a decision for Jesus, would you just do that? Maybe you just want to recommit your heart and life to Christ and ask him to help you each day along life's highway to win some soul. It may be through something that you just said and didn't even realize that would point them to the Lord Jesus Christ.